And once again, thank you all for being here this morning. I feel like I say that every single Sunday, I thank you for being here, but I really do mean it. You had a lot of options of what to do with your Sunday morning, but you made a choice to be here with us and to worship with us, and we greatly appreciate that. Now, those of you who have been with us over the course of the summer, you're probably sick of hearing about this, but I've been talking about it for weeks and weeks and weeks now. We're starting something new in the fall. We're starting on September 14th, a new Bible reading plan. Well, what's so new about that? We do Bible reading plans all the time here as a church, right? Well, what makes this new is that once we start this plan, we're never going to stop. We're just going to keep on going through the Bible. And so this means that you will always have the opportunity to read something, not just in isolation by yourself, but to read something as part of a community. That daily devotional time, you won't be on your own to figure it out. You'll always have the option of reading together with your church family. Now, we're doing this Bible reading plan for two important reasons, and I've tried to stress this over the course of the summer, but I know it's the summer months and people are on vacation, and maybe you've missed this, but there's two big reasons why we are doing this Bible reading plan at such a time as this. First reason is this. We want to be better prepared as believers for whatever comes next, okay? For whatever is going to happen next in this country, for whatever is going to happen in this world. I mean, you've got to admit, these are strange and interesting and unique times that we are living in. There are wars going on. Well, there's always wars. Yes, I know there are always wars, but it seems like there is increased violence on the planet, and there is increased political tension, and there's always been political tension. But has it ever been as bad as this, where the right and the left are fighting with one another, and they're not trying to find common ground, but instead they're demonizing one another? And so this is a tense time. Some people think we're headed for civil war. I hope they're wrong, but you just don't know what's going to happen. We've got people seeing aliens or whatever they're seeing in the sky, signs and wonders of some kind up in the air, right? We've got the rise of AI and the Terminator robots will eventually take us over, right? Is that what's going to happen? I hope not, right? More realistically, with the rise of AI, some of us are going to lose our jobs or have to pivot or figure out something new to do. So there's a lot that's going on right now. I think of the time that we're living in as like the days before the storm. I don't know when the storm's going to hit. And I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. I just want to be prepared. I mean, I'm not panicking over it. I'm not like a doom and gloom guy. I'm not panicked over any of this. I just want to be prepared for whatever comes next. And I want you to be prepared for whatever comes next. There's no better way to get prepared than to be in the Word of God. You realize the Bible tells us, well, here's what's going to happen, and here's how you should conduct yourself when it happens. And here's our history, and here's previous examples of different things that people do that are terrible to one another, and here's how people responded then, and here's how you should respond in the future. I mean, it tells us there's no better way to be prepared for whatever comes next in your life. I mean, Jesus promised his followers, hey, your life, it's not going to be easy. In fact, he said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart, for I have overcome the troubles of this world. And so maybe you'll never live to see a civil war in this country or a big, you know, some kind of a new pandemic. Maybe you'll never live to see that, but you will experience your own personal trials in this world. There's no better way to prepare yourself to face those trials than to be in the Word of God. And so we want to be prepared for whatever comes next. That's one reason why we're doing this Bible reading plan. Here's the other reason why. We need to be better equipped to do the work that we are called to do today. Better equipped to do this work in the days before the storm and during the storm. We need to be better equipped. I mean, here's the thing. Jesus has called all of us who are his followers to engage in his rescue mission, his mission of salvation. And we, as a collective here, we as a church, we have ground to cover here. We want to see this whole geography where we live saturated with the gospel. People need to know. People need to meet Jesus. People need to experience his love. People need to hear the words of the gospel that God has loved them so much that he has sent them a Savior into this world. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. He is God's Son. And through his sacrificial death and resurrection, we can have forgiveness of sins and eternal life. People need to hear those words, but they also need to see the reality of the gospel lived out in their midst. And each one of you in this room, each one of us, we all have what you might call a circle of influence. All of us have people in our lives who don't yet know the gospel. And guess what? God has placed us in their lives to be ambassadors of the gospel. So we have work to do here. How do we get better at doing this work? How do we get better equipped to share the gospel, to disciple others? How should we do it? Well, we can listen to some podcasts, right? Or you can listen to your pastor talk at you on Sunday mornings. You can sit there and smile politely. Okay. Yeah, you can do that. Or you can be in the Word of God. You can do a lot of things to get yourself better equipped, but nothing compares to the power that is found in the Word of God for equipping us. And so we need to be better prepared for whatever happens next. We're not panicking. We're just getting prepared. We need to be better prepared, and we need to be better equipped to do the work that God has called and created us to do. That's why we are reading the Bible, to get better equipped and better prepared. So here's what I've realized over my 14 years or so as the pastor of this church. I've realized that there are so many things that I can't do. Here's one of them. I can't make you read the Bible. I can't do it, all right? I mean, how would I even go about that? Show up at your house, hold your eyes open, read these words. I mean, even if I could do it, I wouldn't do it, because that's just not cool. That's just weird, right? I can't make you read the Bible. And so I've tried to figure out, well, since I can't do that, what is it that I can do? Well, I can make a case, right? I can make a case for why it's important to do this and why it's never been more important. I could talk about being equipped, and I could talk about being prepared. So that's what I'm doing up here. I'm just making a case for why we should be reading our Bibles. I can't make you read the Bible, but I can make a case for why it's important. I could explain to you what the Bible is, that it is this miracle that has come from God. I can speak to the value of the Bible. I mean, in my opinion, I've told you this before, in my opinion, the existence of this book is among God's greatest miracles. I'd rank it in the top three. The creation of all things, the incarnation, God being born among us, Jesus Christ coming down to this earth, and the revelation, the Word of God preserved for us. I mean, it's a miracle that God has given to us that we may know Him as He knows us. And so I can make a case for why we should be reading. I can talk about the value of the Bible, and I have done that, and I'll continue to do that. I can show you studies that speak to the transformative power of reading the Bible, and we did that just a couple weeks ago. If you remember the impact that it makes on the life of a believer, when you're in the Word at least 4 days a week, it changes you. You become more victorious over sin issues. You become significantly more equipped to share your faith with other people, over 200% more likely to share your faith with other people. And so I can give you those stats. I can't make you read the Bible, but I can give you some stats, which I have done and will continue to do. I can provide you with a reading plan. Again, it's not like a mandatory thing, but I can do that much. And so I can't make you read the Bible, but I can give you a plan to read the Bible. I can make little bookmarks for you so you can follow along with that plan. In fact, I have made them. Aren't these adorable, these little bookmarks I made? You see how simple these bookmarks are? Do you realize how difficult it was for me to make these? You got to format, and then you got to change the font size. How many readings are going to... And I did this all by myself. I didn't want to bother anybody else with this task. It was a real pain, but you know what? It's something I can do. And if it makes it that much easier for you to read the Bible, then I'll do this. There's something else that we can do, which is provide you with a digital calendar of those readings and access to each reading each day. I can't do that, but fortunately, Nathan can, and he has. And so that's something that we can provide for you. Again, we're just trying to make this as easily accessible as possible to you. You know what? There's something else that I can do. I can go through and read in advance. Shouldn't I be doing that anyway? I'm the pastor of this. I can read in advance, and I can create for you like a 4 to 5 page little study guide for every single week. And look, I've done it. Look at this. Every single week. Boom. Bum, 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 bum. I got the first 12 weeks done already, okay? So, I can't make you read the Bible, but I can give you a little study guide to help you. And you can use that study guide in your small groups. Again, I can't make you read the Bible, but I can make sure we have small groups available, so that as you're reading and as you're writing down your questions, that you actually have the opportunity to have those questions answered. That's something that I can do. I can't make you read the Bible, but there are things that I can do. So I've tried to focus on those things. You guys know the old saying, right? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it read the Bible, right? You guys know it, right? And so we're doing our best up here. I'm making a case, and I'm trying to make this as accessible as possible for you, but ultimately, it comes down to you. You will decide, is this something I'm going to do? Now, this plan doesn't begin until September 14th. right? We don't start day one until September 14th. But now is the time to think through, how am I going to approach this plan? Now is the time to strategize. Okay, let me think through the details here. Three specific details. Now is the time to figure out, where am I going to do this? When am I going to do this? And how am I going to do this? Where in space, in my house, in my bedroom, at an office, at a desk, at work, in my car, where am I going to do this when? What time of day? In the evening? Well, if I wait until the evening, what if I fall asleep first? Well, I better do it at lunch. Well, sometimes I work through lunch. Maybe in the morning. Figure out these things now. Where, when, and how? Are you old school like me? Are you going to read from a hardback copy of the Bible? Or are you going to go digital? Are you looking on your phone? Are you doing it on your laptop? Figure out those things now. You don't want to get to September 14th. They want to be, okay, I don't have a plan for this, but I'm going to do it, right? No, you don't want that. So now is the time to figure those things out. I want to encourage you to take a look at the brief passage that's in your bulletin this morning. Okay? So here's what I'd like to do today. I want to take a look at this passage that's in your bulletin. We're going to read these verses out of context, and then we're going to bring the context into play here, which would dramatically shift our way of thinking about what is recorded in these verses. This is Luke 14, beginning at verse 28. These are the words of Jesus. Jesus says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? Isn't that what you would do first? You got to sit down, you got to plan this, you got to figure out the budget. Yeah, isn't that what you would do? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you. All right? All right, Jesus, thank you for that advice. That's true. I mean, whether you're a Christian, whether you're not a Christian, I mean, that's just practical advice. Before you set out to do something, plan, right? Before you set out to do that home renovation project, sit down, budget it out. Do I have the funds to accomplish this? Before you build that tower or that new home or whatever it is, let me sit down and budget this out, or am I just going to start the foundation then have to walk away? You don't want to do that. You want to plan. All right, very practical, useful advice. You got to plan. And then Jesus gives us another example here. Again, Jesus, the master storyteller, the master of parables. It's all right. Think about it this way. Verse 31, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. When he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000. If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and ask for terms of peace. All right, so you can think about it as planning before you start building, or planning before you enter into a war. Can I actually win this battle? Well, let's think this through. I can't just be optimistic about it. I can't just send my men into battle and hope for the best. No, I got to think this through. And if I don't think I can win this, I better find a way to make peace with this opposing king. Simple advice, right? Plan it out. Consider the cost. Before you enter into something, make a plan first. What do they say? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Don't you love those little sayings? Isn't that cute, right? That's true. That's not from the Bible, but that's true. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. So that's what Jesus has to say. Now let's take a look at the context. Let's back up. If you want to open up your Bible, if you're using one of the pew Bibles here, it's page 1489, Luke 14, beginning with verse 25. So let's take it back to verse 25, Luke 14, 25. Here's the context. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Perfect. That's what he wants, right? Followers. I mean, the momentum that, okay, great. Jesus has been around for a while in his public ministry. He's teaching the gospel. He's teaching about the love of God. He's performing signs, wonders, miracles. And consequently, there are large crowds of people that want in on whatever Jesus is doing. He's got himself a whole bunch of followers. Isn't that the goal? To accumulate followers? Isn't that the goal? I mean, what are so many people working for today? Maybe not you, but you know people like this. They go online. They go to anti-social media. Did I call it anti? I keep doing that. They go to social media platforms, and they try to accumulate followers. Well, I got to create content so I can get followers and all this kind of stuff. All right, that's not my world, but maybe you know somebody who lives in that world. They're trying to accumulate followers. What about people a mile on a work? preachers, pastors. Aren't so many of us after this? Well, let me just get a whole bunch of followers. Let me fill a sanctuary with a whole bunch of people that want to hear me talk at them. Oh, followers, right? You want some followers? Well, let's build on this momentum. And so Jesus says to his disciples, let's build on this. I got a lot of people who want to follow me. Let's get even more followers. Let's keep this thing going. Let's do what we got to do to engage people. No. No. That's not what Jesus does. And what Jesus says here is somewhat counterintuitive to our way of thinking. So he sees this large crowd, and turning to them, he said, verse 26, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brother and sister, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Is that what your Bible says too? Do I have some kind of weird edition that talks? Thanks for coming out, everybody. I'm sure you appreciate the miracles and all the talk that I've been giving you about the love of God, but you got to know something, and you need to know it right now. If you want to actually become my disciples, what Jesus says, it's going to cost you something. You know those people in your life that you love and value, like your parents or your spouse or your children? Well, you've got to love me more than them. So much so that by comparison, what you feel towards them is like hate. In fact, you got to love me more than your own life. That's what Jesus says. Well, Jesus, I thought we were just kind of following around a guy who talked about God's love and did miracles. I'm on board with, whoa. If you actually want to be my disciple, it's going to cost you something. Just last Sunday, we took a look at some words from Paul to Timothy, and he warns Timothy, he says, don't get caught up on words, on terminology, and arguments about semantics. Those are not fruitful. And so you might look at this passage and say, is Jesus telling us that we're supposed to hate our parents? No, man, look at the context. Look at the context. He's saying, do you realize how difficult it's going to be to follow me? Do you realize these people that you love, you know, they might try and steer you away from me. They might find out you're a Christian now and think, well, you've gone off the deep end. You're being so radical in your faith. We got to bring you back to reality. And when that day comes, who are you going to go with? You going to stick with mom and dad or your spouse? Or will you stick with Jesus? If you're going to be my disciple, I got to be your number one, is what Jesus says. And whoever, verse 27, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. You realize Jesus is speaking these words before his crucifixion. People didn't use the word cross symbolically in these days. A cross didn't have a figurative meaning. He's saying, if you want to be my follower, then you've got to pick up your instrument of death and follow. You've got to hate yourself compared to the love you have for Jesus. You have to be willing to die. You know, so many of us Christians appreciate Jesus saying you must be born again, but there's something that happens before you're born again. Something has to die. What do you want me to do for you here this morning? Do you want me to sand off the rough edges and make this a little bit more palatable? I can't. This is what Jesus says. It's going to cost you something. Sacrifice is required. This is not going to be easy. It's not all raising the dead and multiplying loaves and fishes. This is hard, and you need to know this in advance. How many times have we been suckered by the old bait and switch thing, right? Oh, somebody's telling you something. Oh, it's not going to be cheap. It's going to be great. You're going to love it. And then you buy this thing, and you realize how much. Bait and switch. You know the old bait and switch. Jesus doesn't do the bait and switch. He doesn't say, no, it's going to be easy to be one of my followers. No. Sacrifice is required. Let me tell you a little secret that I figured out about life. Okay? There are no easy approaches to life. Right? Human beings, we often look for the path of least resistance. Where am I going to be most comfortable? You know, where am I going to be able to just slide through life and not have to deal with trouble and all this? Guess what? It doesn't exist. No matter how you approach life, well, I'm just going to be selfish and go all in and live for self and try to just like, you know, accumulate stuff for myself. That's not easy to do. I'm going to live apart from Jesus because I don't want to live within his boundaries, so I'm going to do my own. It's not easy to do your own thing. What happens when trouble befalls you and you don't have Jesus to rely on? There's no such thing as an easy way. You young people listening, I'm serious. There's no such thing as an easy way. All you have are difficult options. Which one are you going to choose? If all you have are difficult options, you might as well choose the right option. I want to follow Jesus. Not because it's easy, but because he is worthy. Not because it's cheap to follow Jesus. No, it's expensive. But the cost is worth it. Jesus is worth it. This is what he says. It's going to cost you a lot, but I'm worth it. And he's right. And he's right. And so into this context, this is where he says, okay, well, suppose you want to build a tower. You got to figure out, do I have enough money to do this? Suppose a king wants to go to war with another king. You better figure out, can I actually conquer this king? Then let's jump to verse 33. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have, cannot be my disciples. You want me to do it again? No. You want me to make this more palatable? You want me to soften these rough edges? I can't do it. This is what Jesus says. It is difficult to be a follower of Jesus Christ in this world, but it is more difficult to not be a follower of Jesus Christ in this world. Don't go searching for the easy way. And so Jesus speaks these words to that original audience. He speaks those same words to us today. Do you really want to do this? Have you sat down and thought about the sacrifice that's required? Think about the aspects of our faith that makes it difficult to live out in this world. You know, the current of culture is always shifting. Well, this is popular, now it's unpopular. This is popular, this we considered right and moral. Well, now we consider this over here right and moral. But a Christian, a follower of Jesus, we just stay consistent. No. Everybody's telling me I'm wrong. Nope. I can't get swept up in the current of culture. It is difficult to be a follower of Jesus. The sacrifice that's required, I'm watching my friends, I'm watching my peers, I'm watching them afford bigger homes, and I'm watching them move up in the corporate ladder, and I'm still stuck here because I'm sacrificing to Jesus. Well, that's difficult. It's not intuitive. And I'm called to engage in all these different disciplines, and this is just like, I just want to live my free time the way I want to live my free time. Why do I have to read the Bible and go to worship and go to Bible study and serve? I got to serve and I got to sacrifice? Can't I just live for me? No. I mean, you can. That's always an option. How's that going to work out for you? It is difficult. Planning is required. Sacrifice is required. And you consider all these different aspects of the Christian life, of the life following Jesus. And if you look at that long list of what's required and what's encouraged, somewhere on that list, pretty high up, you're going to find a specific discipline. And it is the discipline of engaging in the Word of God, reading the Bible. And so, when it comes to this one specific discipline, I would encourage you, plan ahead. How are you going to do this? Plan ahead. Where, when we start reading the Bible, where are you going to do this reading? What time of day? When are you going to do this? How? Hard copy, digital. How? Figure out those things now. Sit down and plan it ahead. That way you will succeed in this. We've got people in this room right now that are so new to following Jesus. And maybe you're a bit intimidated by the Bible. Let me tell you something. You can do this. You can do this. You're not going to be on your own to figure this out. You can succeed in this goal of reading the Bible for the sake of understanding. Let me talk to the people in this room. I know you're here. You've been a Christian for a very long time, but you've never read this thing, all right? And every time you gather in this space on Sunday morning, every time I preach about the importance of reading the Bible, you feel like, can we talk about something else? You feel that conviction. Let me tell you something. If that's you, That's okay. That was the past. Don't worry about that. Don't waste your time feeling bad about the past. Nope. Just decide. This is when you're actually going to do it. This is going to be it. I believe in you. You can do this. We got people in this room who are so devoted to reading the Word of God. You're in it every single day. Let me tell you what. It's going to be different this time. You're going to get more out of it this time. You're not going to skip through and say, well, I don't quite understand this, but I got to go to work, so I'm not going to. Nope, nope, nope. This time, you are going to read for the goal of understanding. It's not going to be some empty discipline where you just check it off the box, say, well, did that today. No, 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 no. This will be different because your focus is different. You want to understand what you're reading. You can do this. And the time to plan your approach is today. We are engaging in this discipline of reading the Bible for the sake of understanding because we want to be better prepared for whatever happens next. And we want to be better equipped to do the work God has called us to do. And there is nothing in this world that will make us better prepared and better equipped than reading God's Word. Let's join together in prayer. Father, thank you for your compassion, for your grace, for your understanding. So many of us in this space right now, maybe all of us, we've had these times where we've really wanted to read your word, we've really wanted to read the Bible, and we start a plan, or maybe we fall off, but God, you know how difficult it is. And you're gracious towards us, you're compassionate. But Father, we want this time to be different. It's never been more important, Father. We acknowledge that. It's time for us to get into your word. Let this be the day where we plan our approach. Let this be the season where we make this commitment, not just to our church family, but where we make this commitment to you that we will engage in this discipline and that we will seek for you in the pages of your word and that we will find you there. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.